going to home.
Yes, sir.
Horrible.
You don't want me to?
No. Okay. No, I just wanted another part. I know some things I preach, I might get in trouble for, but it's all right. With the government, thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, I'll tell you what. All right, just want every one of you to just stand up, stretch your leg, and go around and shake someone's hand, Welcome them here this morning. Have a little fellowship right at first. You know, it's what come to God's house is to have fellowship with the Lord and with the saints of God. Walking in the Lord. If you will, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Chapter 30 in the book of Deuteronomy. Glad you're here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 30. We're going to be reading from verse 14 down to verse 19. Then we're going to be, is it loud? Am I too loud? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, everybody got the place. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land, whether thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you and dealt blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou both, thou and thy seed, may live. Over there to the next book, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua 24 and verses 13, 14, and 15. It says right here in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 13, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyard and the olive yards, which ye planted not to eat, to be not to do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the God which your father served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to bring you a message today on this thought. Choices that we make, and we can choose in what to do. In other words, choices are choose you this day. Our Father, which is in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy presence this morning. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word. Lord, that you may allow me, Father, to be a part of this service today. And Father, that you may touch these lips of clay, that your very words may fall from these lips upon the hearts of the people. And Father, even upon my heart again. And Lord, we just want to thank you for your love. And Father, most of all, we want to thank you, Lord, that you came where we was and you saved our soul. Thank you, Father, and we love you. And bless these people, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen and amen. Choices or choose you this day. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I called heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. In Joshua 24, in this verse 15, it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the God which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The words right here, the two words that I want to speak, really focus on this morning, is choices. We all make choices every day. As soon as we rise in the morning, we have a choice. We have a choice either to get up out of that bed and go to work, if we work, or we make a choice of staying in the bed or just doing what we want to do. Some people, they make the right choices. Some people, they make the wrong choices. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. But there are choices, and we make choices every day. Whether we realize it or not, we make choices every day. But have you ever given much thought as to how powerful your choice is? We need to think about the choices that we make in the mornings. And the choices we make for that day. And what kind of standing it's going to take within our life. And who it's going to affect. It just don't affect us. It affects the people around us. It affects other individuals. We have what is called the freedom of choice. We have the freedom to choose ye either Christ or the devil. He has given us that choice, and He will not drag us. He will not go about doing things to us. The only thing that He will do, the Holy Spirit will continue convicting your heart and continue doing so until you finally say no. And when you really continue saying no unto the Holy Spirit, then that is a time the Holy Spirit will never speak to you again. I remember a revival that me and Brother James went to in Greensboro, North Carolina. The pastor there at that time was dead, but he's passed away, but I remember when we went over that afternoon, it was at Shining Light Baptist Church. Jimmy Dillon was the pastor at that time. They had revival that week. And we went on a Thursday afternoon. And we got there, and the evangelist, he got up there and he said, and he was preaching on the Holy Spirit. And he brought up the wind, where you cannot see the wind, but you can feel the effect of the wind. Now within that church would seat probably around 1,500 people. And I expect it was closer, just about being packed out. Now, on either side of the church, right above in this portion of the church, on each side, had a return for the heating and air conditioning, where it will make it blow a little better. All of you know what the return does. It forces more air out. Well, while he was up there preaching, and he was preaching about the Holy Spirit, and he'd been preaching a while, and when he got through preaching, the evangelist, he had his prayer, and he said, told the people, he said, "Now I want you to bow your head. I don't want nobody looking around but me and God." And he said that about that time, the air condition come on, the unit come on. It started blowing air out of the vents. And the returns was either taking the air and forcing the air out. And about that time, this gentleman sitting on this side, about the fifth or sixth row from the back, I mean, he was looking because he, I mean, and I go on to him, I'm going to tell you, but he was there, and when the furnace kicked, I mean, when the air conditioning kicked on, it made a little noise, and he didn't know what it was. He thought it was somebody that was coming in, so he opened his eyes, and when he opened his eyes, that gentleman back there, when he opened his eyes, he noticed that at that time he had forgot about the air conditioning units being on and about blowing. But it had chandeliers down this side and chandeliers down that side. And the chandeliers were probably about that big. And after he looked around, he looked up front. He saw the chandelier move. And the chandelier didn't just move just a little bit. It moved like somebody was up there shaking the chandelier. The one right there, the first one. Not all, the others were still. Even that one was still. But it was like someone there shaking the chandelier. This is what this gentleman said now. Now he said this in what he, after the preacher prayed and after all the individuals come up, and the, I mean people gathered around the altar there, and some was weeping, they was crying for loved ones and wanting them saved and everything. And this gentleman rose to his feet. And he says, "I want to tell you something, people. If you feel like something is tugging at your heart, if you feel like that something is maybe closing your throat up, or you getting a little on the nervous side, you need to go forward. You need to go forward. I rejected the Holy Spirit time and time again. Now today, I don't even feel His presence. I don't feel Him speaking to me no more. I have crossed the deadline. I know that I cannot get saved because of my rejection." And he says, and it's scriptural too. And he says, "You know, I've asked God many times, God, do it one more time. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me one more time. Nothing happens. And he said he was sitting there at his home one evening in his recliner there. And he said God spoke to him. He said he knew it was God. He knew it was God. He said, and God told him. He said, Sammy, you rejected the Holy Spirit for the last time. I cannot allow him to speak to you anymore. He says, I cannot get saved. I would love to get saved. I would love to be able to step out of these pews right now and run down to the altar and ask God to save my soul. But I don't have the desire like I did at one time. But I reject it. Because I've seen the things of the world, the things that where I was working and places and things that where I could take my money and I could buy. I was more interested in that than my own soul. And he kept on. And he kept on. And he says, I'm begging you. He said, the preacher, he said, the evangelist up there, he preached the message. Tonight. He said, but you leave tonight, if you ain't saved tonight, if you reject the Holy Spirit tonight, it would be your last opportunity. He said, I can't even shed a tear. My wife was in a automobile accident, and it just about took her life. She was bedridden for over 8 months, and I had to take care of her. Different ones come in, different preachers come in, and they was having prayer with them. He says, I know one day that we're going to be completely separated. Because I know where she's going. She's going to heaven. Because she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. He didn't continue on with her. It didn't take but one or two times that the Holy Spirit spoke to her and she said yes unto him. And I believe this. When an individual experiences the Holy Spirit of God tugging at their heart, and when they, as soon as they step out and come forth to the altar, I believe before they get to that altar, I believe that they're just as saved right then as they are when they come down here and ask the Lord Jesus to save, because that's exactly what they done when they stepped out. They asked the Lord Jesus with our actions to save our soul. We need people today that sold out. We need people today that would sell out to God. I wish to God that I had sold out to God many, many, many years ago, but I didn't. But even with this little small church, the small numbers, the little small numbers that we got here, as long as God's in the midst, the majority, we have exactly what it needs. We have exactly what God wants. People are dying and going to hell every day. This past week, I've heard of 3 different automobile accidents where people have lost their lives. Do you think last weekend that they was thinking about this weekend? Do you think that they was thinking about, well, you know, next weekend I may not be here. What I'm going to do with my life? We don't think about things like that. And we take things for granted each and every day. We take life for granted every day. We take the blessings of God for granted. God blesses the people that blesses Him. And just like Brother Bill this morning in the book of Job, where God doubled Job's portion. He doubled his land. He doubled everything that he had lost. He'd come back and double. God gave him a double portion. Why? Because he feared God. And he loved God. And he stood with God. And he was a righteous individual. And it brought me to the thought of Ruth and Naomi. That what did God do for them? God gave them a double portion also. You want a double portion? You want a double portion of God's blessings this week? Do what God asked us to do. Don't question God. Don't say, God, I can't do that. First of all, God don't know what you're talking about when you use the word can't. Because I do not believe that that word is in God's vocabulary. Because anybody can do something and they can do exactly what they need to do as long as God's in it. For this church to go forward, it's going to take each one of us. It can't just take just one or two. It can't just take me and Brother Bill going out and visiting. And it can't just take one or two of you to get on the phone and call somebody. We got choices. We got to make. You know, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to revisit some things, but when I first come here, Brother Bill, he called me and he asked me, could I come? And I don't know if it was on a Wednesday night, was the first time or not, I don't know. Or if it was on Sunday. But it won't be 2 or 3 weeks later. Brother Bill asked me, he says, would you consider taking a church if they wanted you? I said, Brother Bill, right now, I can tell you I can't right now because I don't have the leadership of the Lord. And I told him then, I told him several times after that, I says, I would love to take the church. But if I took the church, and if the Lord was not in it for me and for you, the church would not do anything. The people in the church that's here would not grow. Now, you're saying, well, we haven't grown any. We haven't seen many people come in. Well, we haven't. But I'll tell you one thing. We've experienced some things down here. I've experienced some things down here. I mean, here, last month, I was in one of the finest revivals that I've ever seen and I've ever been a part of. Because God was here. God showed up. And I'll tell you, before I called Brother Paul, I was thinking on my heart about calling Brother J.D. Walker and asking him, could he come and hold a week's revival in September? And he asked me, what week would it be? I said, well, I'm really looking at it probably by the third week. The second or the third week. He said, well, in September, I got to be back on the Philippines. I got to be over there for 3 weeks in the Philippines. We're trying to get another church started, trying to get it started being built. And I said, well, okay. I said, well, Brother Walker, I says, we may not be able to get together this year, but maybe in the future. The next week, I called Brother Paul. I didn't know how to get in touch with him. And I didn't even think about calling Brother Bill and see if he happened to have his phone number. I said, well, I know where I can get it. I knew the name of the church. I knew where it was at. I knew the name and everything. So I got on the internet. You know, I know some people don't like the internet. Some people says the internet is so evil. But let me tell you what. The internet is not evil unless the individual behind it is evil. The individual behind the, on this side that's pushing in buttons on the keys, that's the only thing that's going to come up is what they push. It's more good out there around the world that is at our fingertips than we've ever had before. You say, well, I just don't like it. Well, God allowed for it to come to be. And I believe it's biblical. Because over in the book of Revelation, it speaks about, well, we can have choices today. We have choices in whom we serve. We're going to either serve God or we're going to serve the devil. We're going to serve two masters. There's two masters right here, and a whole lot of people's trying to serve both of them. They're trying to serve one with the left side of the leg on this side of the fence, and the right leg on the other side of the fence, which is the devil. I mean, they're trying to serve both of them, but you cannot serve God, you cannot serve mammon. It's what the Word of God says. You cannot serve two. And even in God's Word says, we must obey Him. We must obey this book. We must read this book. Just like a gentleman yesterday got up at the funeral. And he was thanking the Lord to save him, that He saved him. Thanked Him for His many blessings. And he had liver cancer. And he says he's waiting now for the doctors to find a liver where he can have a liver transplant. But he says, whether they can find it or not, I'm a winner either way. Because if they don't find a liver, I won't be around here that much longer. Which there's a better possibility none of us is going to be around here much longer. But he said this. He said he believes this book. He said he believes the King James Version, the King James Bible, that is inspired by the Lord God Almighty. I believe every word. I believe every dot. I believe every comma. I believe everything in it. And I even believe the cover. Because the cover says Holy Bible. And he says, you know, that's all we need. I don't need all these other translations. And he says, all the Bible, these Christian bookstores and Bible bookstores and everything, got all these other translations. He says, I don't understand why they just take and save the money and put it into the King James Bible, get more King James a material in, and if they don't feel like getting more of a King James, they think you got enough of the King James, then they need to take that and support missionaries. They need to go out and support something else. They'll need to go out here and support all the evil that's going on. Some of the writers that's in some of these books, they made their own choices. Some of them, you'd be surprised at some of the preachers that has got their names on them, that will help write some of it and translate it into what they want it to be, what they want it to feel their own self-desires with. And they don't question nobody. They ask someone, well, would you want to come and join us in giving your thought on these verses of Scripture and what you think, and you pin down it, and then we'll all go over it together, and then we'll see how we can translate it out to where people can understand it. I'm not going to call out the Bible, but I know one particular Bible I hear that's not the King James. It's one of these other perversions I hear that has been perverted by Satan and his workers. But one of them has got a, I'm not going to be called a lady. She's a female.
She helped write some portions of the scripture in that book. And that's all it is, just a book. You can't get nothing out of it. But come to find out, somebody done some researches on all of them people that wrote this particular Bible. One of the individuals that was a man that was a preacher. He was a homosexual. It was another one that one of the ladies there, this particular lady there, she was a lesbian. He allowed her to be part of that and allowed this other individual to be a part of that. God is not a part of anything like that. God is not a part of anything the way He's going to take out the deity of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of it. And going to take out the blood. God's not a part of it. We have what God says in His book, in the Bible here. He says, "My word is settled and it's settled in heaven. He's not going to change it for me. He's not going to change it for you. He's not going to change it because it wants to fit my pet sin or somebody else's pet sin." He says, sin is sin. And just like that individual yesterday that stood up, it has the liver cancer and everything, and he's waiting for a liver transplant. He says, "I was not delivered from being an alcoholic." He says, "I was delivered for being a drunk. And I was delivered from the sin of drugs." And he says, if people that think they got the idea that they can be delivered because somebody told them that there was an alcoholic, that's not right. They got to realize themselves that they are not an alcoholic, that they are drunk. And they got to realize, too, that they speak of drunkards, speak of whoremongers, speak of all the perversions that we have, and it's why people are dying and going to hell, and the churches are dying out. If anything, the churches should flourish. Over here in Hebrews, and I'm going to close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Well, I'm going to go up to read. I'm going to read verses 23, 24, and 25. Verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking things assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another." Exalting one another. Not forsaking this assembling of ourselves. We don't need to forsake the house of God. We don't need to stay away on Sunday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon just because we worked and we don't feel good. If you come with a heart of love and a heart of compassion, When you think you don't feel good, if you come and you're asking God to bless you, you'll come. And when you leave, you'll leave saying it's good to be in God's house because I feel better than I did before. That's what people mean. Hey, we should not leave the same way that we come in. We should always leave the church service with something that has touched us. And if you've never tried it, I just ask you to try it. I just ask each, if people don't come out for Sunday school, they don't come for Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday preaching or whatever. On the authority of God's word, I'll promise you, if you will give God an opportunity for 30 days, 1 month, that's not before Sundays, unless you pick a month that's got five. And that right there means you can get them an extra blessing. But you're going to get an extra blessing in half you come. Did you realize that God has a blessings on each one of the pews? If no one sits in them pews, ain't nobody going to receive that blessing. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are approaching the coming of the Lord. We are approaching the second coming. We are approaching Him that's stepping out on the clouds there in heaven, in the third heaven. We have the atmospheric heaven where the clouds are at. And then we have the second heaven where the stars and the planets and all of them are. And then we had the third heaven. And that's where Jesus is at. And He going to step out. He going to step out on the cloud. What the Bible says, right? Now, I don't know, but I'm not saying... When you're up in heaven now, I'm not saying that all he has to do is just say, well, Lord, I'm going to just step out right here, and I'm going to step right there. The clouds are going to exist right there. I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be clouds in heaven. I don't think it is. It don't speak of it. What I've read, I haven't read what it says of it, where it's going to be clouds in heaven. Because it's going to be, what are clouds anyhow? Cloud brings what? Rain. Cloud what? Brings a covering, a shade for people for in the afternoon. So evidently, what he's speaking about when he says step out on the cloud, yes, Jesus is going to step out on the cloud, but when he steps, he got that long leg. He's going to step out where the clouds that we see. He's going to step out on the first cloud. He's going to step beyond the second cloud to the first cloud. And then when he steps on, as soon as his feet stands on that cloud, that's when Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet. And we're going to hear that trumpet all the way from heaven. And praise God, if you've never shouted, if you've never raised your hand, if you've never said amen in your service or not in your lifetime, I'll promise you one thing. That's one time you will say it. That's one time you will say it. So why not practice here? Hallelujah. Hey, when I read that, when
And I heard a preacher say that one time. He says, why don't we just go in and practice? Praise God. In about 2 months, he said, they're going to start getting up people. They're going to start getting up young people and adults and everything. They're going to start practicing for the Christmas play. They're going to start practicing for the cantata. He said, but what I'm practicing for, I'm practicing for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we need to have a practice day here. Praise God. We need to have... Whew! Lord have mercy. I mean, yesterday, I'm there in that service yesterday. I mean, praise God. I mean, it took all I had just to sit down. Not just get up and shout and start running. Because you know that I've mentioned here. Why in the world people today has got away from me? Woo! The old handkerchief. Praise God, it was a lady there in the choir yesterday. She was singing. She was just a waving that handkerchief, praise God. She kept on raising it, and they kept on saying amen. Hey, when I saw that handkerchief go up, I said, praise God, hallelujah. I mean, hey, pray. We need to practice. Can you say amen? All right. You want to practice a little bit? Let's practice in raising our hand to glory. Giving Him the praise because He is worthy. He is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of all our being. He is worthy of everything that we have got for Him. Because He's going to bless us. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you one thing. The first time the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart there at Brush Arbor, praise God. I mean, he was an evangelist then, but he become a missionary over the missionaries down in, he was from down in North Carolina. But he came and helped a week's revival. And that's what he told the people at the end of the service on a Thursday night. Everybody just lift a hand toward heaven and raise it. Hallelujah. He said, because if you don't raise it, if you don't give Him a praise, I mean, something's going to give Him praise. Because if we don't give Him praise in the house of God, the house of God, what does He say? He said He will ask the Holy Spirit to praise God to breathe on the trees out here and allow them on the trees to just wave the hand, wave the leaves, wave, wave, and hay, and then to give them a shout. Praise God when that water claps up against the rocks. They're going to say, well, if you ain't there, it's no sound. I beg to differ with you. It's a sound for God here. I may not be out there, and I may not hear the sound, but God hears the sound. God tells me in His Word that there's a sound. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I pray, Father, that You'll just continue to be with the church, Father. Continue to be with Thy people. And Lord Jesus, help us, O Lord, that we can be the servant, Father, that You will allow us to be. And Father, that we will never disappoint You, but Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that Satan, Father, wants to do his part. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that You will allow him to come in and test us. And Father, when You do, it tests our faith.
And we pray, Father, the Lord Jesus, you'll help us. You'll give us the faith that we need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.